Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here. The last few months have certainly brought the subject of racism to our attention, and maybe you've been able to talk to your kids or the kids in your life about it. Our guest today is an expert on talking to children about racism. She is Diana Diaz-Granados. She is a project evaluator and certified mental health first aid trainer with Better Together. It's a youth mental health project in La Crosse County. Love to hear from you. What would you like to know about introducing the topic? Have the kids in your life asked you about it? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Diana Diaz-Granados, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pretty important topic to talk to kids about. When should caregivers start that conversation with their children?
Oh, I think it's a conversation that needs to be had, you know, as early as possible. It's certainly not a one-time conversation, you know, much like other important topics such as that parents have to talk about with their kids, whether it's sex and sexuality or substance use or mental health. The topic of racism and stereotypes and biases that we might have is a lifelong, learning process, even for us adults as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know some people have said, well, maybe we just ought to wait until they ask. Should you? It doesn't sound like you're saying you should wait till they ask you.
No, because, you know, it's, from a very young age, we know from research that children are noticing differences. It's really their kids' job to notice differences and make associations, and they're picking up cues from their parents and their caregivers or older siblings. So being able to, you know, if we don't talk about it, we're not giving children the language to talk about race. And so being open and talking about, if they do ask to bring it up, but also to be good listeners as parents, to listen how they're, you know, how they're playing, how they're assigning roles when they do some creative play. And, we're kind of challenging some of those roles that they might be playing, saying, you know, why are you making those associations? And, you know, using resources, books and media that parents can bring into the home to challenge some of those stereotypes.
Yeah. I'm wondering, should you approach it differently if your child seems to already have negative stereotypes? You were kind of getting at that, I think, in your comments. But if they have negative stereotypes for people who are different from them, what's the approach that parent should be taking?
Sure. I mean, I think,
or should it be different?
I think it's asking questions of like, why do you say that? What makes you think that? And exploring that with your child. I think an important thing that parents need to recognize is that they may not have, they may not be experts in this. I'm speaking from my own personal experience and that it's okay to not know what to say and to show and model that with your child of how to be vulnerable, how to explore accurate information. Where do we go for facts? Oh, you think that princesses look at this way? Well, let's look at that. Let's challenge that. Or you think, you know, that black men are all athletes? Well, let's look and show our children some positive role models that look different than what they're usually seeing out in, whether it's in the community or in our advertisements. Let's challenge and really add to those images and experiences that our children are not seeing every day.
Yeah. I was thinking about my own situation. When I was a kid, I grew up in a rural community with not much exposure to other than white people. But I was helped a lot. My parents were great models, and they modeled behavior sometimes different from others in the community that had a lasting impact on me. And I think this whole business of modeling your own behavior to help the kids is important.
Absolutely. I mean, we naturally take a lot of our parenting cues from our own parents. Some parents, you know, very well-intentioned may have taught us to not see color, that was a really popular thought, but we're not naturally colorblind to race. And so so for some, I mean, I think, you know, you're really lucky to be able to have those discussions, it sounds like, with your parents, as I am with my parents, but not, since not everyone has those opportunities, it's okay. And it's never too late to explore those topics and do that self-reflection as parents, and then share those thoughts and share your learning with your own kids.
Yeah. Take some calls. If you'd like to join in, love to hear from you. What questions do you have about talking to your kids about racism? What experiences have you had in this area? I'd love to hear from you. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Jimmy in Fond du Lac, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling. Oh, I think Jimmy's there, but we're just not hearing him yet. We'll get to you in just a minute. You can join in too. Again, 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So kinds of questions, where do you begin if you're just, I mean, you're all, this is all new to a lot of people, I'm sure. So how do you begin the whole process of this? You need to do some work yourself before perhaps you're talking to your children about it.
Sure. And then, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, younger kids and how they're, you know, playing. For older kids, especially kids that are, you know, have their own devices or have access to social media, they're talking about it. Even, you know, if they may not be talking about with you, but they are seeing and hearing, you know, about local events, current events. They're talking, they're hearing conversations about race and racism, either from people that they know or social media influencers. And it's an opportunity to, you know, as a parent, to ask them, you know, like, what are you hearing from your friends or from people you follow on social media with regards to racism, and open that door for, you know, an opportunity to share what your family values are, asking them, you know, what do you think about that? What makes you think that, as we had said earlier, and question, you know, and then question or give them context that they may not know about, right? Their social media may be, you know, we know we have to be aware that those algorithms work, and that depending on something that they see, they'll continue to see only one side or one version of a story that as a parent, we need to be aware of and be able to give our kids more context.
Let's take a call. Rocky in Wautoma, we'll give you a chance. Thanks a lot for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, when I was going through basic training in 1970, we had a drill instructor that had been just got back from Vietnam, and he said to us, I want you to think about something. If you go to Vietnam and you're wounded, do you want blood from a white man or from a black man, or does it make any difference? And that made a lot of difference. And a lot of people lie.
Hmm. Comment on that, Diana?
Yeah, The caller was breaking up a little bit. If I were wounded and my life were, I mean, I think that's an opportunity for a lesson of we're all the same, and that the different tones of our skin tones are on the outside. We have darker skin tones. You have more melanin, but on the inside, our blood, we're all the same. And that is certainly, you know, has been proven through science as well. There's no genetic aspect of race. So we are all equal humans.
That's Rocky. Thank you. Sean in Appleton, your turn now. Hi, Sean.
Oh, yeah. Looking to ask, what age would be the best age to start talking to your child about racism? I don't know if it's covered yet. I'm not trying to be redundant, but...
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Sean, for calling. I appreciate it. So Sean's just tuning in, wondering what age would be a good age to start preparing. We did talk about that a little bit, but that certainly bears talking about more.
I mean, it's from very young ages. You know, a child, that toddlers are starting to make those associations about what is fair and unfair, and so you know that is starting to give children that language and looking at their environment in a with a social justice lens. Then, as they start going to making relationships, making sure that your children explicitly state your family values around exclusion and not exclusion, and that, you know, excluding somebody from your friend circle because of the color of their skin is a really bad type of bullying. And that we in this family, we stand up to bullies and say, that's not fair. We can play with everyone, or everyone, you know, should be allowed to play. So that type of language, you know, depending yet on the age, those are kind of the building blocks to these conversations around race and racism.
Yeah. Sean, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Diana Diaz-Granados, our guest today, project evaluator and certified mental health first aid trainer with Better Together. It's a youth mental health project in La Crosse County. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network as we talk about talking to kids about racism with our guest, Diana Diaz-Granados, project evaluator with the Better Together Youth Mental Health Project in La Crosse County. It's great to have her with us. And again, you can join us 800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org. Diane, I should have asked you this maybe in the beginning, but Better Together, maybe you could talk about that mental health project in La Crosse County and how it might relate to our topic.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Better Together is a youth mental health project that we're working with, you know, as a coalition to improve kind of the environment that our young people have, whether it's in school or in their families, that they have the confidence to talk about their mental health. We do see a lot of data that's showing that increasingly young people are struggling with depression and anxiety. And I think, you know, this current COVID crisis is even increasing that even more. So helping parents and schools be prepared and normalizing conversations around mental health, and also recognizing that, you know, the stress of COVID, that adverse community experiences that children have, that being treated differently in school, seeing racism being played out in our schools impacts everyone's mental health. And so that's what Better Together is all about.
And it's been going on for a while now, or is this a new initiative?
Yes, we're funded by the Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin project. It started in 2016, and it's an 8-year project.
Excellent. Well, let's take some more calls. Steve in Eau Claire, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Larry, for taking my call. The way me and my wife are raising our son is the way he's acting. He doesn't see anybody for their color. He says, hey, can I go play with them, kids? Absolutely. That's the way we want it to be, because race does not matter to us. Now, on the comments I wanted to make about what we're seeing in the media and with the Black Lives Movement and other things going on nowadays, is that the talk is constantly about white racism against people of color or black people. Is the thing that you're seeing, though, is the exact opposite of that. And you can go by any media outlet there is for any one or two people that they talk are being racist towards people of color. There's 50 people of color that are being racist against people that are different from them and blaming white people or other people of color for things in there that have gone wrong in their lives or in other people's lives around them. And I'm just wondering, what is the, you know, their children are seeing this, and their children, you know, our children take a lot of their, you know, stuff from us as parents. So now these children are being raised to hate people, white people, because there's been some issues of racism in the past against black people. But you just see it more predominantly, and it just never gets talked about how the black culture is more racist to the white culture versus the white culture racist to the black.
Hmm. Well, Steve, I thank you for calling. Diana, what are your comments?
Yeah, those, Steve brings in, it is some an interesting conversation. And, you know, these conversations about race and, you know, families of color are having these conversations. They talk about race and racism, certainly more often because they need to, because they're experiencing it. They're also having and need to have conversations about white people in our history that have contributed to helping the black community, to being allies in our black community. And, you know, really our schools don't do a very good job of that. And so I think that's also, this conversation today is for white families and black families, you know, to be open to those conversations of who are allies. There are allies that are there, and that I think the points that Steve brings up are important. But that, you know, black families want just to be treated with respect. So
let's take another call. Thanks again. Let's take another call from Rose this time in Madison. Hi, Rose.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind today?
Hi, my name's Rose. I'm an African-American parent here in Madison, Wisconsin, and I wanted to make a suggestion with regard to what might be an effective way to talk about race with your child. And that is the most important thing I think parents can do in preparing to talk about race, and I'm just going to focus on African-American, to talk about African-Americans with their children is to know the history, know the culture, which means not coming out of what you think you know about African-Americans, but reading, visiting museums, talking to other African-Americans. In other words, arming yourself with the facts of African-American history and culture so that when you go into the conversation, you know what you're talking about and you're comfortable with it. You're comfortable that you're passing, the information you're passing on is information that you have studied, that you have had conversations with other people who are experts about, and that you are passing on the correct information. The caller just before you, I hadn't heard him yet when I called, but he's one of the prime examples, I think, of someone who doesn't have the story. He doesn't have the facts. He's talking out of his emotions. He's talking out of what he thinks he knows. But he needs to go back to school, but not the school that he learned about African Americans from when he came up. The school now of the facts and the culture and the history that's actually out there in so many different forms for him to partake of if he wants to. You have to know what you're talking about when you're talking about another race, when you're talking about another culture. You can't just come at it and say things that you believe, that you feel, because that's not really getting the job done of passing on the truth to your children.
Rose, I thank you very much for calling. Diana, a comment.
Fantastic. No, I agree with Rose on our points about learning our history. The history that that many, that we've learned hasn't been a full history, and so it is incumbent upon us to learn a full history of, going back to 1619 and the impact that slavery really has had on our society, the impact of systemic racism in our communities today. So I absolutely agree with that. Listening to voices of people of color, of our Black brothers and sisters is extremely important.
Rose, thank you again. I appreciate it very much. I want to give Marta in Milwaukee a chance to join in. Marta, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I am a Caucasian woman, and I have adopted two African-American kids. And my comment is that from what I see, race is becoming, for kids, much less of an issue. They don't seem to see racism as I might have seen it as a young person. And I feel like we're turning the corner. Now, maybe that's Pollyanna-ish, but that's been my experience with my girls.
No, Marta, thank you so much. Comment, Diana. Do you think we're turning a corner with the younger folks?
I think there have been improvements. I think that younger people are certainly have been more, are being exposed to more history the events of this summer, the spring and summer, have made it more and more difficult to avoid these conversations. So I think that our younger generation is more open to have difficult conversations. They're not finding it as difficult. But I think it is incumbent on, important for parents not to avoid the conversation, because young people are also, students of color, youth of color are still experiencing racism by their classmates, by young people their same age. So there's still a lot of work to be done.
Thank you again, Martha. Martha in Menominee, on to you now. Hi, Martha.
Yes, I was fortunate, I guess, privileged to grow up white middle class outside of Washington, D.C., which is a largely Black community. And I was also fortunate enough to be raised by a Black woman who married my white father when I was 11. And so I was sort of transformed into a family of civil rights lawyers. So I was fortunate. These things are not, I'm not Steve, the previous caller. I get it. And my suggestion to white parents is to Google and research Jane Elliott's experiment in Iowa, Blue Eyes, Brown Eyes, and to really study that, because for white parents that need a starting point, this would be a wonderful thing to research. Also, if you're a white parent and you don't know what 400 years to catch up means, you need to educate yourself first before you can speak to your children about this. Tim Wise's book, that's Tim Wise, White Like Me, will walk you through systemic racism currently in our country. And those are my suggestions.
Martha, thank you so much. Diana, what do you think?
Excellent suggestions. The caller mentioned the researcher in Iowa. That story I also share in the book. It's shared in the book "Waking Up White" by Debbie Irving, which is a good introductory piece of work to understand. It's the perspective of a white woman starting to understand her privilege. It may not be, speak to everyone, but here at La Crosse, actually, we're using that book as, as a means to open the door to that increased awareness around issues of privilege. And often that word, can be triggering for people. It doesn't mean that you've had an easy life, but what it means is that the color of your skin hasn't been an added challenge to you, that you're able to take for granted, walking into a store and not being assumed, not being looked at as, just a shoplifter, or, being able to go for a jog and not feel threatened or killed like Ahmaud Arbery was, being able to sleep in your bed and not be killed like Breonna Taylor was. Things that that white people are able to take for granted, for the privilege of having lighter skin.
Thank you again. Anne in Waupun, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I just became familiar with a Lifetime cable TV show that was produced in 1998. It's called Any Day Now, and it's currently broadcast on Channel 2-5 on Antenna TV daily at 9. And it covers racial issues. It covers civil rights movement. And it goes from the 60s to the 90s. It's a white gal and a black gal that become friends when they're 10 years old. And then the black gal moves away and she comes back in the 90s when and it's just, I think every high school should have it as a requirement to watch this show. It teaches so much.
Thank you, Anne, for calling. Have you seen that show, Diana?
I haven't. No, it sounds very interesting. I have used some more recent, some more recent documentaries that I felt that have been excellent. The documentary 13th, movie Selma. There's a lot of movies currently available to parents that can be watched with their kids and talk about that history that they haven't, that side of history that hasn't been taught in school.
We have links to two different resources on our website. One is a CNN Sesame Street Town Hall, and the other is an Oscar-winning animated short. Well, let's talk about the Town Hall video for a moment. Can it help us with this whole area?
Yeah, that was a really neat partnership that Sesame Street took with CNN. To have a town hall on race. It was back in June. It's easier to find if you go to the CNN website. The clip that I saw, on your site is a specific scene where Elmo is talking to his dad about the protest and asking, what is a protest and why are they sad and angry? And, so for parents that are struggling to put words, how to describe the racial uprisings that we're currently seeing. Elmo's dad did a great job and talked about why people are angry. And I think it's also, important for us to also talk to our kids about, sometimes the media is portraying protests more violent than they are. And that, being able to help them fact check and see and listen to different voices is really important.
Yeah. And the other animated short on, I forget the title now, it had to do with hair.
Yeah, Hair Love. So,
Hair Love.
I think what is important is for parents, white parents as well as, black parents to recognize that, our schools haven't done, our society hasn't done a great job of highlighting Black excellence and Black culture. I mean, we see a very we've you know, kind of seen a narrow version of that. And the Oscar winning, it's a short clip called Hair Love. And it's just this beautiful story of a father helping his daughter with her hair, with her, you know, black hair. And what I thought was important of that story, there are a lot of, you know, kind of subliminal messaging in that, you know, it's a father. And we often are hear these stereotypes that black fathers are absent. No, it's not true. There are a lot of very committed, you know, intact families in the black community. It's our some TV shows and movies that tend to overrepresent those negative stereotypes. So it's a beautiful piece, and it won an Oscar, I think, last year. And so that was one that I referenced. But in web resources such as social justice books or the Brown Bookshelf, you know, are places where parents can look for book lists for different age ranges. I happened just to be in a big bookstore here in La Crosse over the weekend, and I think our bookstores are doing a good job of highlighting some black authors and kids' books that are available to all parents, that all parents should be bringing into their home. Ibram Kendi has a new book, a board book, called Anti-Racist Baby, which is just showing the kids, the people in the story are of all colors, and so normalizing that for our children, I think, is really important, an important part of their life.
Let's take a call from Sherry in Whitewater next. Hi, Sherry. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. I'm so glad you're talking about this. In listening to the various callers, it's occurred to me as a mom who raised four kids that there isn't a time to talk about race with your children. It isn't a process. It's a process, not an event. So in other words, as you are raising those kids, as you are questioning your own beliefs, and I think that goes for people of all races, we all think we know a lot of stuff that we don't know is true. And so if we live it, if we question it, and we teach our kids to question it, things that, that we could easily just let pass. Each time one of those things come up, like your guest said, well, why do you think that? I think that is how you address racism and sexuality and any number of things as a parent. It isn't just one day that you do this and then it fixes it. Poof, it's a lifelong experience of raising kids and teaching them to think. So.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for calling. Diana, a comment?
No, absolutely. I completely agree with the caller. I think a tip that I've that I also kind of talk about is not to shut it down and not and to break it down. So those questions that your kids might have, and they might have in a very public place, it can be embarrassing for the parent if it's a question that's asked. In front of someone, calling out like, oh, why is their skin so dark? Use that opportunity as a learning experience, acknowledging respectfully to the person that we have some curiosity here and I'm going to use this experience to teach my child. I'm not shutting it down saying that was a bad question to ask. Race, our differences become racism when there is value ascribed to them. So when we devalue something, then that's when something becomes, racist. So so those are important opportunities to talk with our children.
Mike in Oshkosh, we'll go give you a chance. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Diane. One thing I guess I would like to make, and I see in a lot of adults, is there seems to be in our country a real lack of empathy. And I think that, if we teach our kids to have empathy, maybe by showing them through examples of situations they may have been in, would they want to be judged that way? I think that's important. And I think that extends even beyond racism. Also, I think it's important that we remember that, you know, kids learn through example. But, you know, one of the examples that, they live with is their peers. And they can really be strongly influenced by their peers, and that pressure to fit in is something that, as parents, we need to counter and talk to them about, you know, their friends and their friends' opinions. So that's my comment. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Comment, Diana.
Oh, absolutely. Empathy is really at the heart of this, and, really, you know, we don't. It's not something. It's something that we need to learn, right? And as parents, as adults, we need to practice our empathy, and we need to teach and help our children practice empathy. So I completely agree with the caller, and also I have two teenagers in my home, and I've seen how, you know, through conversations, helping them kind of process what they're seeing in their school, and is important. Those are important conversations to help them you know, develop the values that you are hoping for them. So I agree with the caller.
Someone else wondered again if you would mention those resources that there are available to help families learn about racism.
I'll take the opportunity to, also point people to, in La Crosse County, we have a learning community collaborative called the Creating a Healthier Multicultural Community. And the website is laxwakingupwhite.com. And under the resources page, we've also, you know, added a lot of books and films, websites that, parents can use for, you know, to help have help them have those conversations. So it's laxwakingupwhite.com. The other two that I had mentioned before was socialjusticebooks.org or the brownbookshelf.com. Mm-hmm. Those were, you know, to find some books, but your local library, bookstores can certainly also help with that.
Yeah, I've certainly noticed in our local bookstores a renewed or a good emphasis, maybe not renewed, maybe a first time, but many times a renewed emphasis on books by Black authors and others addressing some of the issues we've been talking about today. And Diana, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it, and good luck with your work in La Crosse.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Diana Diaz-Granados, our guest, a project evaluator. She's a certified mental health first aid trainer. She works with Better Together. It's a youth mental health project in La Crosse County. And those sites that the one that comes immediately to mind, laxwakingupwhite.com, was one of the sites she mentioned. And we'll have the other sites up on our website. Just go to wpr.org/Larry and look in the notes section, and, you will find them. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about children with autism spectrum disorder. And the fundamental problem of motor skills with many of those children makes it hard for them. And we'll talk about some work being done to help those youngsters. That next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.